Welcome to Beyond Treatment, Conversations for Cancer Survivors. I'm your host, Lisa Johnson-Bleski, Director of the Cancer Center of Western Wisconsin. Thanks for being here. Across this series, we've talked about many parts of survivorship that can feel hard, uncertain, and sometimes isolating. Today, we're ending by focusing on resilience, meaning, and habits that can support healing over time. Today, I'm joined again by Dr. Finley, a lifestyle and integrative medicine physician who works with people living with cancer and cancer survivors across the continuum. Her work helps patients reconnect with their bodies, build supportive habits, and move forward with more self-compassion and resilience. Dr. Finley, thank you for joining us again.
Thank you for having me. It's such a privilege.
Today's episode is called Moving Forward, Resilience, Meaning, and Habits That Support Healing. Survivorship is about more than medical follow-up. It is also about rebuilding trust, finding meaning, and creating habits that support healing. Today we're going to talk about what moving forward can look like in real life and how people can care for themselves in ways that feel steady, realistic, and compassionate. All right, Dr. Finley, we've got a couple of questions for you today. And the first one I want to start with is, why doesn't moving forward after cancer feel simple?
Wow. Well, I want to back us up to the last conversation we had, Lisa, where we talked about just even entering into this space with the diagnosis of cancer. It creates a stress response in our body, and rightfully so, right? This is a life-changing event. The good news is we have many cancers that are treatable now, but that leaves survivorship and moving forward as a unique challenge for many people. But also, I like to remind us that the brain is wired to respond to stress, right? There are parts of the brain that their job is to be on high alert and recognize danger. And so there was a danger signal that came across when that cancer diagnosis came. And those are become quite embedded in the brain. And so as we try to move forward from that, the brain is going to go back to those signals. And anytime we enter kind of this unknown space or a new space, the brain will often go back to those negative parts. And people have asked me about that, like, why do I seem to have negative thoughts? Well, that's actually the way the brain works, okay? So that is not a you thing, that's a human brain thing. And so I think number one is just recognizing this is my brain that is made to protect me, and it's going to take me back to that stress point. So now I'm at a point where I'm trying to move forward. The brain is kind of reckoning back to that, and just acknowledge that and just recognize, because we want to trust our bodies, but I recognize that the relationship with the body can feel very broken when the cancer diagnosis comes, right? And then there's this issue of how can I trust my body again? And having that tension is really a challenge anytime we lose trust with the body. And again, I can't speak first person to this experience, but it makes sense to me that just like if somebody has a broken limb and they have to learn to trust that part of their body again, after you've been through a big diagnosis and treatment like this, it's going to take time. And people can often feel like their body has failed them or rebelled against them. I love the conversation I had with a patient recently where they said, I felt like my body was giving up on me, but I recognized that I've given up on my body in some ways, and I need to figure out how I can support it in this journey. And so sometimes it's just a reframing of, okay, what can I do now to support this? Because if you've come through this, your body has been your ally, right? It has done the hard work to go through treatment and to deal with this. And so you want to work in support of that. You want to continue to be a team and not feel like you're at odds as an enemy with your body.
Wow, how insightful of your patient to take a step back, recognize that, reflect on that. Mm-hmm. That's really powerful.
Yes, and so often we don't have to do something drastic to shift this. It's just in the way that we look at it, what we call reframing. Just, can I look at this a different way? It's
I think it's completely understandable if somebody feels like their body has been an enemy and, you know, presented a cancer that then needed a significant treatment and you have to go through all of this. But recognizing that your body is your friend, it's your ally that has come through that. And we can support the body to continue healing, to come out of that stress. We talked last time about the stress response that the body is under, and that is heightened throughout treatment and recovery as the body's trying to heal from the treatment, right? Which we've purposely damaged the body to deal with the cancer, right? Whether it's chemotherapy or radiation or surgery, we've purposely done that. The body then needs to heal from that, and it's under stress. So giving grace to ourselves mentally and physically to support the body to help it come through that.
Is that the first step in rebuilding your trust in your body?
The first step, I think, is awareness, right?
Okay.
The first step is always awareness when we're trying to move forward with changing how we live our lives, right? Our lifestyle. That's what I practice in medicine, is helping people change their lifestyle. It's not easy. It is a very hard thing to do, to change what we've done for years, decades often. And so as somebody's moving forward out of treatment and into their continued survivorship, that may require really drastic changes from the way you've lived your life for the decades prior. And recognizing that, that's hard. That's step one. Just be aware that this is hard and just call it out and say, this is not easy. And then give yourself some grace for it. I always bring my patients back to this discussion of, we don't expect kids to be perfect at learning things, right? When they're learning their math, we don't expect them to get it right from day one. I can't pick up a guitar and play a song like a virtuoso because I'm not, and I haven't practiced. We have to practice when we change our habits. We often expect ourselves as adults to be able to just change the habit. Well, that's not fair. That's not fair. And we need to give ourselves the grace to recognize we're changing ingrained habits and developing new habits. And that takes time. And so first of all, having the awareness that this is a hard thing and it's normal that it's hard. And then how can I move forward from there and give myself grace to say, I want to do things differently. Recognizing how you want to do them, as we talked about last time, we need to drop any comparisons here, right? It's very hard. As humans, we like to compare things all the time. But we are each unique individuals. You are unique in your survivorship. Give yourself the grace to say, what do I need? What do I want moving forward? And how can I take the steps to do that, to move into that next phase? So that, again, number one is awareness, and then number two is to start to recognize what those steps might be.
So what does rebuilding trust and doing well after cancer look like?
That is such a hard question. Again, partially because I have not lived through that myself, so I don't want to presume to know. But what I would say is, whenever we're trying to make these big changes in our lifestyle to find our best health, it's challenging. It's challenging. If I want to change the way I eat, simply maybe it's not for my survivorship. Maybe it's just because I want to feel better. That's still really hard, okay? And so I think acknowledging that this is going to be a challenge, and then maybe trying to have a frame of reference. So the frame of reference I like to use is, we call them the pillars of lifestyle medicine, just to break it down, to think about what parts of my health do I want to be different? What parts do I know can help me? So nutrition, you know, can I fuel my body in a way that supports my best health? Activity. We know that moving our bodies, particularly in survivorship, is incredibly important. It's important for getting through our treatments. It's important for preventing recurrent cancers, but it's also really important for our mental health. And so, you know, thinking about, am I moving in a way that supports me? And it may be different from what it used to be, but what works now? What is appropriate now? Sleep, supporting good sleep, in stress management. In the last episode when I was with you, we talked about the sympathetic parasympathetic balance in our nervous system and that stress response. We want to be spending time in that parasympathetic rest and digest. Well, sleep is the ultimate time for that. So if we can get restorative sleep, then that's great. But the reality is sleep is hard for many of us, and particularly in survivorship, there tends to be a lot of challenges with that. Recognizing that all the other parts, these things all add together. So the way I feel my body, the way I move my body impacts my sleep and vice versa, right? But the stress management that we talked about, or, you know, I talked more about finding joy, right? I like to simplify it to that, because we think about, well, how do I do this, and how do I... It's about doing those small things for yourself that bring joy, because that's when we know that your body is in that rest and digest phase. We also want to think about purpose. That is one of the things that my team works on a lot with people, whether they're in survivorship or other parts of their health journey. But purpose is fundamental, and it has shifted dramatically in this journey. And we need to recognize that. Now, the reality is it shifts throughout life. So if, you know, think about when you graduated high school and you were thinking about, what am I doing next? Finding the purpose in your adulthood. And then maybe somebody has children and it's about raising children. And then the kids leave home. So there's all these phases of life where we move through purpose. But survivorship, I think, brings it to acute awareness, right? Because not only is there often a change in the way that you live, are able to live your life and do the things that you want to do, but there are often some existential questions, you know, some fear of death, fear of, you know, what might happen. What does that mean to my loved ones? So many heavy things that come into this. So purpose is definitely a part of this, and addressing that, and then moving forward to think about, what do I want? Right? What do I want the next years to be about? And that may have to be completely retooled from where we came from. Then we also talk about connection, social connection. It's incredibly important, and it may have changed drastically. You may not have been well enough to be connecting with people in the way that you wanted to. Maybe you're entering a stage where you feel better and you can start to reconnect. Or maybe you have a new tribe. Maybe you've met people who have journeyed with you, and taking the time to foster those relationships and fill into that. And then the last area we talk about is what we call risky substances. And I don't love that name, but I like us to think about that the brain is wired to be attached to things. And those attachments are very personal. And so I like people to think about, what attachments might I have, and are they serving me well? So maybe, you know, during treatment, somebody was attached to, I don't know, maybe they found joy in reading books, right? And that was wonderful. But maybe that detachment now is keeping them from those social connections that they now have energy for. So evaluating for yourself, what are my attachments? And are they supporting what I want? And for me, it's helpful to think about this, because this is just overall health is... it's really nebulous and it's really kind of a big thing. But if I can break it down into these little parts and think about, okay, in this area, is there something I want to be different? Is there something that I think would help me feel healthier and happier in my life? And maybe there isn't, and that's great. But maybe you think about it again in 6 months and say, okay, is there something different that I want now? But starting to evaluate, like, okay, where do I want to put some energy? Especially as maybe your energy is returning after your treatment is over. Where do I want to put energy? And I always come back to this question, what's going to bring you joy, right? And so if you're thinking about physical activity, Dr. Finley says I should move my body. Yes, but you should move it in a way that brings you joy, right? So maybe it's not going to the gym. Maybe it's dancing. Maybe it's running around the backyard with the grandkids. Or the kids, you know, whatever that is, being thoughtful to, you know, this isn't just a checklist of things to do. It's a balance of what supports your best health, and recognizing that your best health involves you being happy and feeling joy, and having some contentment.
I'm really glad you brought up purpose and connection, mm-hmm. because when I think about health, I don't necessarily think about those two things. The common things are sleep, diet, nutrition, what did you call it, risky substances, mm-hmm. all of that. I don't think about that purpose and connection, but that really is there too and part of those dimensions. What advice would you give someone who is feeling like in all of those categories they need to work on it? Like, I've said this in other episodes, you can't boil the ocean.
Yes, for sure. That's the challenge, is I can imagine that some people who are at this phase, right, of entering this kind of this next phase, there's so much that they want to change or so much that has changed. We can only do a couple things at a time. When I work with people in clinic, I say two or three goals at a time, and they need to be small steps, small little steps to get to that next phase. But what I like to have people think about is, and it really comes back to this purpose issue, because I think purpose underlies all of this. If we've lost that sense of purpose, then I have no drive to make any other change. If I'm floundering, which it would be very understandable if somebody's at this point and feels like, I don't know, then you're not going to have the motivation to do any of these other things. So underlying all of this is purpose. And I think it's really important to address this, because whenever we want to make change in our lifestyle, in our health, we need to understand what the purpose is behind that. Otherwise, we're not going to have the motivation to do those other changes. So even if somebody wants to change the way they eat, I'm going to ask them, why do you think that is something you want to do right now? And I often ask why. I feel like a two-year-old. Why? But we need to understand the purpose. And for many survivors, I can imagine that as we move past treatment and into this next phase, it's very unclear. Purpose has really maybe gotten foggy or blurry. And so I think taking the time to pause and think about, what do I want? What could this look like in 2 years? This is an exercise I do with many of my patients. Think 2 years down the road. What do you want from life, right? And that's not, you know, we want to be bold in that, but we also need to be realistic. And that may be part of the challenge, is that maybe what you thought you wanted at this phase of life has been changed completely by your diagnosis. But can you envision with your current reality, what would that look like 2 years from now? And then back it up and say, okay, how am I going to get there? And so let's use the example of, you know, maybe I want to be playing guitar, and which I don't, but I respect, this is one of those things that we talked about, doing activities that can bring you joy. I would be really stressed out trying to learn how to play guitar. But let's say I thought I wanted to be a guitar player, and maybe I wanted to go, you know, play at the bar on the weekends or something. Well, I can't just wake up tomorrow and walk in somewhere and say, I'm going to play the guitar for you. I have to take small steps. I mean, I got to get a guitar. I've got to learn how to use it. I have to build up my fingers. From what I understand, that takes a lot of time. So there are all these small steps that take us toward that bigger goal. And so I always want to think about, what is our health goal? And then what steps can we back up to? And we actually do an exercise that my partner has created, where we start with a two-year vision, and then we back it up by a year and say, okay, if the vision is to be doing that in 2 years, what thing do I want to be doing within the year that will help me towards that? So maybe for me, it's I'm taking guitar lessons. Okay, then I got to back up from there to, what's the first small step? The first small step is often just even considering, how is this going to fit in? We talk about contemplation and preparation, right? Am I thinking of, you know, I just have to think about, well, if I'm going to play guitar, what kind of guitar do I want to play? Where do I want to take lessons? When am I going to do this in my schedule? There's so much that has to go into that, and just breaking it down and taking one small step at a time. And I talked about seven parts of life and health. If you wanted to use that framework or whatever framework you use, just think about, one or two, max of three areas, because we can't do so many more. And sometimes it's that first area, especially if we're trying to clarify vision for purpose, just focus on that. Spend the time to understand, what might that look like? What might I want to do? It's worth the time, because when we make this change, if we take the time to think about, you know, whether it's the purpose or whether it's figuring out how I want to move my body now, taking the time to think through that and prepare for that is going to make us that much more successful in doing it over the long term.
That's extremely valuable advice. Taking that time, not trying to boil the ocean all at once, and really that fundamental, what's your purpose? What's my purpose? I think that is great advice. My next question, I have to ask for your advice on, because if you ask my husband, I am one of those people who are very impatient, and I want to see results right away. I will do an exercise program for 2 weeks if I'm not looking like I got a 4-pack or 6-pack, I give up. Mm-hmm. So I know I'm not alone, and we may have some audience members that feel the same way and going through survivorship. What would you say to those people?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it's more and more challenging in our society. We are an immediate response society now, right? Like, I want an answer. I don't go to the library anymore. I pick up my phone and Google it. We need to recognize that, first of all, is that we have become more and more reliant on that immediate response. And I won't go into the biochemistry of that, but that's real. But, you know, I usually say to people, we didn't get here overnight. We're not going to reverse this overnight. You didn't get through your cancer treatment overnight. You didn't choose that either, right? You know, we need to have grace. Your body has come through a tremendous ordeal here. And so as we're trying to move forward, and not just your body, but your heart and your mind, right? Let's give grace and patience for it to move into those next phases. Something that I like to bring to light here too, though, is when we're talking about like our gut health, right? I focus a lot on this with patients. It takes time for our gut microbiome to recover. And I use this just as a reminder that biology it's not an immediate response. So, you know, in our gut, we have these microbes that help with every part of our health, and we want those good and healthy microbes. But if I get an unhealthy balance of microbes, I can't just, you know, snap my fingers or pop a pill and it will be fixed overnight. They actually have to kind of progress. And I always liken it to a fish tank. I always wanted to get all those tiny little fish and have them form a little school in there. Well, if I throw in a bunch of food and just try to get them to breed sooner and grow faster, it's actually going to backfire. And it's going to be, you know, a mess in my fish tank, which, you know, been there, done that. I have to be patient to give them what they need and allow them to grow at the rate that they would naturally grow. We have to do that with our bodies, right? Lisa needs to do it with her exercise program. But that is a very human response, is we want immediate results. But that's not how the body works. We need time to heal. We need time to change. Right? We need time to change from what we were doing before to what we've been doing, because it takes practice. So giving ourselves grace, every single one of us, I think, can give ourselves more grace to say, it's little steps, and it little by little I can build up to it. But the thing I like to point out is we can often feel like change is not happening, and it really is. So I'm really excited about, I always like to bring this back to some research about nutrition. We often think with nutrition, like, I've got to do everything perfectly, right? I got to do all these things. We love to see the studies that come out, and they show if we just make small nutrition changes. There was one recently where they talked about people adding 2 servings of broccoli a week. They didn't change their entire nutrition pattern. They just added 2 servings of broccoli, and whether it's broccoli for you, or if you hate broccoli, don't eat broccoli. There's plenty of other good things to fuel your body with. But I like to point out that it was a very small change, had significant impact on their health. So when we feel like things aren't changing enough, We need to trust that things are happening under the hood, as one of my patients said. Things are happening under the hood, and all the choices we make that support our brain and our body and our best health, they will add up. And they don't have to be big things. They can be small things that work for you. Because again, if it's not working for you, find something different to focus on. Find the thing that makes sense to you. Yes, I really want to focus on that. It doesn't just need to be, you know, physical activity, because Dr. Finlay said to do physical activity. If you need to work on your sleep, work on your sleep. If it's that purpose or social connection, find that area that you want to engage with, and you'll get to the other things, right? This is a long game. And just be patient with it. Give yourself grace, and especially recognize what you've been through, your brain, your body, your heart, your mind. Be patient with yourself, and just little by little, keep adding. Add the positive, and it will continue to grow.
Thank you. That is really good advice. I will personally try to take that into consideration the next time I try an exercise program. And listeners, I hope you have found this episode to be very valuable. It is the last one in our series. So Dr. Finlay, I have to ask you this last question. What message should our listeners carry forward?
Give yourself grace and find some joy.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Finlay. Thank you, listeners.
As a reminder, the information shared in this episode is meant to support and guide you. It is not a substitute for your own medical care. If questions come up or something resonates with you today, we encourage you to talk with your oncology care team or primary care provider. They know your history best and can help you decide what next steps are right for you. You do not have to navigate survivorship alone. Thanks for joining us today. Wherever you are in your survivorship journey, we are glad you are here.